A very good morning to all the listeners right here on Eagle FM. My name is Andrew, and I will be taking you through at least a portion of today's unpacking the day. We'll be crossing over to the Ondango studio later on with a mic. But for now, I am joined in studio with a distinguished guest. Of course, as you know, today is the procession that we're going to be having in the city of the late founding president, which we are expecting in a few minutes or so to commence, and on the eve also of the memorial service before we bury the late founding president, Dr. Sam Nyoma, on Saturday. I am joined in studio by a distinguished guest, one of Namibia's first advocates, that is Advocate Ephraim Kasuto, who has a rich history in terms of the legal landscape of Namibia. Also shared a close relationship with the founding president, dating back to, you know, the liberation movement. Good morning, Advocate Kasuto. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Yeah.
And thanks for having me.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Perhaps maybe you can just take us through with such a rich history in Namibia's legal history. Having started your practice before independence, during the height of apartheid, what was it like back then? You know, for a black person, as one of the first black advocates in Namibia pre-independence, for someone to stand up and say, "I want to do that." What was the motivation behind that, and what was that? What was the landscape like back then? Maybe let's get started there.
Oh, thank you very much. Let me just say, of course, I was not the first black. Perhaps I was the third black advocate in Namibia before independence. I was admitted on the 7th of December 1984 by the Judge President Becker, Mr. Justice Becker, as advocate. And it was a very, very difficult time. One of the difficulties was that if you are an advocate, you needed to be briefed or instructed by an attorney in order to defend your client in a court of law. Mm. And at that time, of course, there were difficulty for some of us who were known to be members of SWAPO to be briefed by the attorneys in Namibia. Mm. For example, in my case, I was only fortunate to have one firm of attorneys, that is the firm of Andreas Vass, which was briefing me, giving me instructions.
Yeah.
Besides that, I had to get attorneys in South Africa, such as Priscilla Yana and Mlamba and so on. There were these people, there were the attorneys who were briefing me from South Africa. By the way, Priscilla Yana was one of the attorneys of Nelson Mandela.
Mm.
But before I come to that and tell you the difficulty we experienced, let me just give you a little bit of a background before.
Yeah.
There was difficulties in... it was easier for one to become an advocate because you only need to serve what they call pupillage for 6 months under a registered admitted advocate. You don't have to write any examination.
Mm.
But if you want to be an attorney, you have to write an examination after having served articles for 2 years. Now, this was a very difficult thing, was a very difficult examination to pass.
Mm.
Why? You may come with your degrees. You can even have 2 degrees from a university. And during what time, some of the people or the people who are marking your script are people who have never been at a university at all. Why? They had a very nice time at that stage. If you want to qualify as an attorney, you must serve under a registered firm of attorneys for 5 years, and without writing any examination, you qualify as an attorney.
Hmm.
These were the people who are now, some of them were marking now script for these people who might be coming there with degrees.
Right.
Why was that? Because the because of the apartheid system, which was an evil system anyway, when the whites realized that blacks were now coming into the profession, and this was one of the professions, and there was no any different court for blacks and different court for whites. It was just the same court. Examination and so on was just the same. They decided now to make things difficult. And beside the fact that people could become attorneys only after being registered at the attorney's firm for 5 years without writing any examination, you don't even have a diploma from a university, and then you are qualified as an attorney. They decided that, okay, now, from now on, in order to qualify as an attorney, you have to serve articles for 2 years, and you, at the end of it, you must write what they used to call a practical examination. And this is where there was difficulties. And at the same time also, the situation was like this. There was what we used to call the Supreme Court of Southwest Africa. This is the one after independent now replaced by the High Court. And only advocate could appear in the Supreme Court. Attorneys were not allowed to appear in the Supreme Court. And for you, of course, as an advocate, in order to appear in the Supreme Court, you must be briefed by an attorney. And this was the difficulty which the also people experienced. They want, for an example, Kasuto. They come to me. And I say, I'll take the case, but I need to be briefed. So as a result, of course, you have to send them to at that time, it was the fortunate was that the CCN, the Council of Sheshes Namibia, was assisting the victim of the system. They will go to the CCN. The CCN will say, okay, we'll finance the case. But then, of course, thereafter, in order for me to defend these people, they must first go to an attorney. And this is the difficulty I was just mentioning to you now. Of course, I have to, if not Andreas was not there, I had to get these lawyers from South Africa who were willing to help me because they knew the system and they knew the difficulty in which I was finding myself. But the problem also was when it comes to the money to be paid to lawyers. The people, the, now the CCN was just now, of course, viewing, is it really necessary to pay lawyers from South Africa who must fly from there, come and get here, accommodation and all these type of things? And as a result, it was always a bit of difficulty to really to help this really. I only, in most cases, where there's people who are financially able to pay for such fees who could help me. So that was the situation before independence. And of course, after I could have said more, but because of time, I will have cut off. Of course, after independence, and because of the able leadership of our late Dr. Sam Shafshina Nyoma, the situation, of course, changed. We changed in the sense that, of course, the Supreme Court of South Africa, as mentioning about, was replaced by the High Court of Namibia. And then at the same time also, these restrictions of attorneys not being allowed to being entitled to appear in the Supreme Court was removed. As a result, an attorney, whether she has, he or she has got only one degree, is entitled to appear in the
Supreme Court.
In the Supreme Court. Yeah, that was a very important thing. We should have also make things easier for the lawyers. And we almost become legal practitioners. As a result, whether I'm an advocate, I could practice as a legal practitioner. And this is what is happening now. Although for a number of years, my office was in a, first it was in a CDM building. And because of the difficulty of people had to say this and that before they end, I move into the Capital Center. And I swear I practice until time of independence. And now, of course, at the moment, I'm we have got a firm called Kasuto Law Chambers, which is in Windhoek West. And now is presently run by my daughter, Gatuane Kasuto. She's doing a very wonderful job.
Yeah.
And because I'm also a farmer in farming in Grootfontein district,
yeah,
I have also opened a branch, a small branch from office there at Otavi.
I want to take you back a little bit in terms of you got involved in terms of the liberation movement. Through that you established a relationship with the late founding president. Correct. Maybe you can just take us through what got you involved in the liberation movement and how are you balancing that as a legal practitioner and being part of a movement that was deemed illegal at the time.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you for that question. It's a very good question. If I may take you a little bit back, I was brought up by the late, was called by the name of the late Yulia Rere Mungunda. And this lady was the sister to the chief of Siakutako.
Mm.
As a result, I was more closer to the chief.
Mm.
And when I was at in the old location, of course, we had a situation where some of my relatives were killed at the event which took place on the 10th of December
59.
Mm. And also a lady by the name of Kakuruka de Mungunda was also killed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And this Kakuruka de Mungunda was the cousin of the lady who brought me up.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, at that stage, of course, is where I also heard about the name of Sem Nujoma,
mm-hmm.
who was a very brave person and so on,
mm-hmm.
until I later on heard that he have moved to through the assistance of Jose Akutako, and so he moved outside.
Mm-hmm.
Was told that we have fought the first war. When the German invited to our country, we lost the war. Now you must go.
Mm.
You must get to our independence. Go and fight and don't come back empty-handed.
Mm.
And that's why he left this country alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to hear about his name from my teachers. At that stage, I was the learner at a school which used to be called the Rhenish Herero School,
mm-hmm.
which only was restricted to take only learners who are Ovambo speaking or Herero speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers by the name of Karita, another one Ganyone, another one Tumutumburwa, another one Yaoto, another one Itana, were members of SWAPO.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I heard that for the first time.
Mm.
And now, you know, as Elena, you always believe that what your teacher like must be something good.
Mm.
It's where my interest in this party, SWAPO, mm-hmm. developed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And so that I just wanted to give that. It's just only as a background.
Yeah.
And then what make me to of course, after university, of course, and before I even finished my university, I already got my membership card or SWAPO from a guy who was Otniel Kakunga. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
When I finished the university, of course, I was already a member of the party.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is that, of course, the late Dr. Sem Nujoma, who was really an extraordinary leader, invited me, and we met in Lusaka, the capital of Zambia.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that, look here, I have called you here, and there are two things I want to hear from you. If you want to go for further studies, SWAPO will pay for that.
Mm.
But otherwise, why I call you here is that I want you to assist freedom fighters, because we want the freedom fighters to be very active in the country.
Mm.
And they cannot do so unless there are people who are helping them there.
Mm.
Helping in terms of transporting them, helping them in terms of giving them food, accommodation, and so on.
Mm.
But listen, this transporting is a very risky type of a business.
Mm.
It's a very risky type of undertaking and must be done, it must be an underground activities.
Mm.
And he said, look here, why I'm telling you is this type of undertaking is very risky. I want to remind you about people like Aaron Mushimba and his friend. These people were assisting the freedom fighters in Namibia. They got arrested. They appear in what was called the Supreme Court of Southwest Africa. They were found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they were found guilty, just because their lawyers in that firm, the attorneys or whoever in that firm, were helping them, were giving this information from a client to the state.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, to the process, state advocate or to the police.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, these people got were found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And sentenced to death, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
a lawyer from South Africa, an advocate, tried to argue in the Supreme Court to say people should not be found guilty because of what the lawyer have done.
Mm.
But nevertheless, the court ignored that and they were sentenced to death.
Mm.
Luckily, at that stage, we could appeal to the appellate division in South Africa. They appealed to the appellate division in South Africa,
mm.
and the sentence was set aside, and these people were released.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, the Comrade President told me that when you undertake this type of things, you must help these people, but you have to do it in such a way that you will prevent these people from getting into trouble and you yourself getting into trouble. Because if you are found and so on, you might even be sentenced to death like the others or mm-hmm. sent to Robben Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to cut a story short, I came back into Namibia and worked very hard. I had trusted people, like for an example, I had late matron Shangala, wife of Bishop Emeritus Shangala in northern Namibia.
Hmm.
She was one of those who were organizing the hospital for me, the clinics for me, and conducting others and so on. And we work very nice. We even made a map of Namibia where we changed the name of places. Like for instance, Okshakati, we call it Kitmas, for example.
Mm.
Ondipa, for instance, where Kobabes and whatever clinic and so on. This we were doing in order to mislead who might listen to us when we are operating this system, which was very, very successful until the date of independence. This was because of the character of the leader.
Mm.
He was a good communicator.
Yeah.
And when he tells you something, you really keep it.
Mm.
He says, it's not for you to go to Namibia and start, you know, boasting. I have been, I met the president and I have been, instructed to do A, B, C, and D.
Mm.
The people were telling might also convey their message to others who might be enemies.
Yeah.
And this is what the time I realized what type of a leader he is.
Mm.
And I did the work successfully until independence.
Yeah.
Of course, or after independence, of course, he brought a number of changes.
Yeah.
Of course, the High Court was no longer a High Court anymore. Supreme Court anymore was, of course, the High Court of Namibia.
Yeah.
And as I said, of course, the attorneys now could go to both courts. And even if you are admitted as an advocate, you can just take, instruction for client.
Yeah.
Without, waiting for an attorney to brief you.
Yeah.
Because in the past, a person could pay two people for the same thing.
Mm.
What am I trying to say? You come to an attorney, you tell him or her the story, and then the attorney will go to the advocate. You are coming back to give the same story to the advocate again.
Okay?
But you are paying both of them
for
the very same thing.
Yeah.
And it was deprived also people for the lawyer of their choice.
Yeah.
They want Kasuto.
Mm.
But because Kasuto doesn't have an attorney to brief him or instruct him,
they
have to be told that, no, ooh, Kasuto, no, we don't like that one. He's very weak. He will do nothing in court. He's going to be found guilty or something like that.
Mm.
And then they are going to be given somebody they don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. Knowing well that perhaps Kasuto might know what happened to the comrade Aaron Mushimba and the others and so on.
Yeah.
Or he might be our colleague. He might be a comrade for that matter.
Mm.
And it's what we want. But then they were forced to go and be defended by somebody they never wanted.
Mm.
But circumstances forced them to do so.
Yeah.
Mm. As a result, of course, after independence, the late president, of course, have brought many things.
Yeah.
If we look at the type of government we are having today, we have got a government where there is a respect for the separation of power.
Mm.
We have got the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary.
Mm.
And in order to make sure that the people of Namibia protect their right are protected, there also an office of the ombudsman was created.
Mm.
We should be able to say, no, you are executive, you are not doing the correct thing.
Mm.
You and whatever branch, you are not respecting the right of the Namibian people.
Mm.
And I'm also today very happy to hear that it's a bill now which will give the ombudsman also more rights.
Yeah.
To make it a bit more independent, because we the office used to be dependent financially, dependent on the Ministry of Justice.
Yeah.
And as a result, there was no really a very clear independence and so on.
Yeah. You served in that role as well, maybe as the ombudsman. Tell us about that early stage as in post-independent Namibia and serving as the ombudsman. What was your role? What were some of your achievements what did you do during that time?
Very, very good question. You know, being in the office of the ombudsman was not all that an easy thing for me. Why? Because I've been known as a member of SWAPO. Now, I am running to this SWAPO member telling them that, look here, don't do a bad thing. Don't infringe upon the right of a person who is a member of the DTA for that matter. That the people will say, what is wrong with Kasuto now? As a result, I decided to visit the people of Namibia and tell them that that we are now in a different atmosphere. We are now in a different situation. We have got a policy of national reconciliation. That means that we must now unite. We must forget about the past. Although it's not easy to forget, unless, of course, you are happy with everything. But I had to tell them what is the purpose of the Office of the Ombudsman. And I had to tell them that if we are saying we are a democratic country, we have to put that into practice. And how can we do that? We can do that if we show respect to people, if we treat all the people as equal, and if the people have got problems, we should help them. Yeah, this is how I undertook to visit various places. And I must say, I was happy. My first visit was at Kamanyap. And to my surprise, when I arrived there, they say, okay, after the meeting, we have got a party for you because of what you are doing. Some of our people were there and so on. And we are not members of... we are members of UDF and so on. So as a result, I was on the way now to, on the way to Puo, whatever and so on. But I had to, the meeting took place until after the party took place until 10 o'clock in the evening. So what I'm trying to say is that, and then I visited quite a number of places. And in the process, I think I gained popularity. Because I was telling the people that, you might say I'm a member of what and so on, but I'm today a Namibian and a deputy ombudsman. Forget about anything else. I can help you. Don't care whatever party you are. I was. So at that stage, there were also people who were in the form of, today we have got them as a regional governor, but there were some other names I can't remember now. I was just telling them, because sometimes you come there and say, yeah, Kasuto, you are telling us equality and so on, but people in a certain area, sometimes they mention the North, being treated better than others. I say, no, don't make that mistake. You are now people occupying same position. Start visiting one another. And the way you are going to see whether you are saying it's true or not. But the point I'm trying to say is that, of course, this visit of mine to teach people and so on really helped a lot. It helped a lot. And I must say also, although in terms of the legislation, we must give a report to Parliament, but we also used to have access to the State House. And the President was very, very helpful always to meet us and also to advise us, and was also very happy to see what we were doing. And that is the situation I found myself in at that time.
Currently, you know, if a young person is interested in law and they are dedicated enough, you know, they can go to their various places locally where they can go get their degrees and their papers. If they're dedicated enough, within enough time, maybe 5 or so years, they can establish their own practice and so forth. What work went into that in the early 90s? And when what was the late founding father's role in that to be able to make sure that 30 years in the future, young Namibians whose minds are passionate about, you know, law can be able to do something like this, because obviously this is not something that was everywhere pre-independence in the apartheid system. What dedication or what work went into that for us to get to this point?
Thank you very much. It's a very good question. The late founding president was the person who was the determined to help the Namibian people. He was determined to tell the people to study. And on top of that, he was very, very, very interested in the lingual field also.
Yeah.
And as a result, people were encouraged to study law. And the situation became better in the sense that the people now who started studying law.
Yeah.
But the most important thing, he was behind the establishment of the University of Namibia. And the University of Namibia had a faculty which they call the Faculty of Law.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a number of students started studying law.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we had...
How soon after independence was that interest...
That interest didn't take long.
Yeah.
I think, of course, we gained our independence in 1990.
Yeah.
And I think towards the end of that year, many people were already prepared to to study law.
Mm.
So, of course, there were some who started somewhere else, like my daughter, Ngatuane Kasuto, who is running the main office now in Wendoken. She's doing a very wonderful job.
Yeah.
She started at the University of Cape Town.
Yeah.
But quite a number of lawyers we find today in Namibia have started at the University of Namibia.
Yeah.
And this was because of inspiration which they got from the late founding president.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the situation has become also easier for the people to study. It might become a little bit difficult for one to start with your own firm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you need money for that and so on.
Mm.
But I think that is no longer a problem.
Yeah.
In our firm, which I mentioned to you before, my daughter have got, I think, now about four or five candidates.
Mm.
And this way I'm doing in order to have them... because in order to be qualified as an attorney, you must have served under a registered firm of lawyers.
Mm.
And this is what we are helping them.
Mm.
And I think the situation has changed now to the better.
Yeah.
And this is just because of the men who put much interest in justice and human rights.
Yeah.
And this is none other than the late Dr. Safishina, Sam Safishina Nyoma.
Yeah. Maybe just getting towards the end, obviously 30 years later, our fight, in terms of the fight, does continue, but we're speaking about you know economic independence and so forth. That requires, you know, policies, drafting. It requires the legal mind. It requires the law as well. What place do you see law and the legal fraternity playing when it comes to us talking about, you know, economic emancipation, as we are talking about in the last, you know, in recent times?
Yes, thank you very much for the question. I think the late president have done a lot by creating things like the Bank of Namibia and so on.
Mm.
But I think from the legal point of view, there are some problems. Problems like people don't have the land.
Mm.
And these are things which require a lot of dedication, a lot of thinking. There were land conferences and so on, where people all went talk. I remember even the founding president himself saying, we need, because in terms of the constitution, land, those who occupy the land, who got the land before independence, since the time of colonialism and so on, some of these farms were even some people were resettled and so on, but I don't want to go into that. But what I'm trying to say is that in terms of the constitution, those who have got the land are entitled to keep.
Mm.
For themselves as well as for their children.
Mm.
And then founding president was saying the only thing how to to solve this problem, in order to amend the constitution, you cannot amend it just like anything else.
Mm.
The people need a referendum. Mm. A referendum meaning that the nation must be asked where to support the amendment of the constitution in order to give land to the people or to divide land equally and so on.
Yeah.
And I think this is, of course, when it comes to drafting such things and so on, these are things to be done by lawyers. But they cannot do it on their own. It must be a decision which must come from the executive.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I have answered the question.
But what more do you think still needs to be done to really achieve that? Because you get into, not to drag on, but it's quite a complex issue, the issue of land. It has a lot of moving parts. It's quite complex to solve. But what do you think still needs to be done, and where does the law in the legal fraternity or the legal landscape of Namibia fit into that?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think presently, theoretically, one might say lawyers might help, law might help, but I think it's not all that easy because we are bound by the Namibian constitution.
Yeah.
And I think the most important thing, what we expect at the moment really to help the people, is a small country and with a small population. We appreciate really what the vice president or the president-elect said.
Yeah,
she said that, of course, it's a country with a small population. Why should we be having a problem of unemployment?
Yeah.
And for that, of course, we do have a trust that things will change to the better. But the problem is that, of course, there are certain issues which you cannot do just simply by preparing a bill, take it to parliament and so on, even if you have got a majority in parliament. Unless you do what I said before. I said that, of course, unless you go and get a referendum. A referendum meaning go to the nation and ask the nation whether they can support the amendment of the constitution. And it's when really you can get better situation. That is only as far as the land is concerned.
Yeah.
But otherwise, one would also like to ask that those who are enjoying the benefit of the wealth of our country today, they should change their mind.
Yeah.
It seems the policy of national reconciliation are accepted only by one group, but not the whole group. Why should you have five farms when people are suffering, are being thrown into the street, into the roads?
Yeah.
They don't have a place to stay. And the farm where you are seated is where this person was born, or his father, his parent was born. It's their place. And today you are suffering. It hurts, for one. I'm sorry that I may add something else, but the last festive season, I visited Zanzibar, and which is an island belonging to Tanzania. With a population of about 2 million. But you see, the difference between us and there is that these people, the land does not belong to the state. The land belongs to the people. The state is there to help you when you want to buy a piece of land, to register it, and you pay whatever and so on. But then is when you can say that portion or that thing belongs to you. And so some of these things impress one.
Yeah.
And but what I'm just trying to say, I want to say that the people of Namibia must try to respect the reconciliation and try to help one another.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. It will not take us very far.
Yeah.
To have very, very wealthy people and very poor people.
Yeah.
We enjoy the policy of national reconciliation.
Yeah.
But we must not take that for granted.
Mm.
It cannot carry on if our people, and bigger population of our people in this country, are kept very poor, suffering, whereas a few are enjoying all the benefit of this country. A very rich country, rich in mineral resources. So I want to say that the people should follow the legacy of the president, who really asked for people to be in benefit, enjoy the benefit of their country. If you go to his farm, which is about 30 kilometers on the main road from Ochuarongo to Otavi, 30 kilometers to Otavi, he has got a farm there.
Mm.
It's also now referred to as the Tunda.
Mm.
He has collected many people, even from Kavango and so on, who are selling there.
Mm.
They don't pay him anything.
Mm.
He has got a school there, and he has got a clinic there. I think I'm going to be handed to a ministry and so on.
Mm.
These things he's doing in order to help the people who are suffering.
Yeah.
And that is a good example for others who are enjoying the benefit of the wealth of this country also, so that we can start helping one another.
Yeah.
This is my plea to the people of Namibia.
Yeah.
We are happy with the peace and stability we are enjoying today.
Yeah.
But if we look at some other country where there are problems,
mm.
you wish we could remain happy, could remain with this peace and stability prevailing in our country.
Mm.
But as I said, we must not take that for granted.
Yeah. On you. As a if I may say, a veteran in the legal fraternity, you spoke about your daughter, taking over your attempts of running the practice. What is your message to the up and coming legal minds in Namibia? What is your, if you had to impart wisdom on them, to leave something with them, what would that be?
Yeah, I will tell them that one of the things I will expect people to do, which I was also doing, is that. If in order to protect the right of the individual who happen to be a victim of the system in one or other, who happen to be guilty or who need a lawyer,
mm.
it should not always be that you only take this person because he has got money. In order to protect his right, we must also prepare, particularly young people, to defend people,
mm.
even if they don't have money to pay us.
Mm.
We should not rely only on just getting money from people. Then we are not really saving the interests of our people. We know most of our people are very not all that. They don't have the money,
mm.
and I ask them to help people who don't have money. I ask them also to be honest
mm.
and proud of themselves.
Mm.
Of late, one gets the impression that some people go to some of the journalists telling them talk good about them.
Mm.
So that is something I don't approve of.
Yeah.
Work hard,
mm.
create a goodwill,
mm.
people will come to you.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's a very interesting message, because, most people, when they think of becoming a lawyer, they think, it's very lucrative, I'll make a lot of money, and you're saying, we should be willing to help others.
No, we should not do that. Let me give an example of myself.
Yeah.
When I was helping these people, the freedom fighters and so on,
yeah.
at one stage, the late Reverend Pastor Karwaira,
mm.
they came to me and told me that, because they knew what I was doing.
Mm.
They told me that the late David Meroro,
mm.
who was the chairman of SWAPO for 4 years and was exiled, was having somebody in Konjatu.
Mm.
This person was alleged to have been taken by Kufut.
Mm.
Now, these are the things I had to investigate. And what I was doing, I was not traveling with people who are active in politics.
Mm.
Because myself, I decided not to be active.
Mm.
As a result, some people were calling me a coward.
Mm.
But I didn't care. So I had to phone a friend of mine, Rudolf Jode. He's a Hongode. He's still alive.
Mm.
Of course, later on he went in exile, but he's back. He's at Maruru now.
Mm.
I called him. We decided to go to Okonjatu.
Mm.
We went via Omitara. Before we passed the certain police station there, I don't know what happened to the car. I saw the car going a little bit up. It overturned and it was destroyed without, it couldn't be repaired.
Mm.
I was taken unconscious to Kobabe's hospital and so on. But a short story I want to say is that I never afterwards asked for any benefit or compensation from anybody.
Mm.
Because I was saying, this is my duty to suffer for the sake of our people.
Mm.
And what I'm trying to say, I just want to support what you are saying, that we should always not look at the money.
Mm.
We should look at how to assist our people, how to sacrifice, how to sacrifice to travel to Kietmans without a person paying you for even for petrol or accommodation, to travel to Katima. And these are the things I expect the younger people to be prepared to do.
Yeah.
Because we cannot say we are lawyers in Namibia unless we are prepared to help our people who cannot help themselves financially.
Yeah. And maybe just lastly, your in terms of your relationship with the late founding president, you spoke of meeting him for the first time in Lusaka.
Yeah.
Since then, how has your relationship been? What is your memory of him? And what would you say of the late founding president?
It's a very good question, but let me tell you, you know, when I am hungry and there is no food, I always wish I could receive a call from the founding president. Why do I say so? I was in my house was in Soweto in Katutura before independence. After the implementation of the resolution 435, the people of course came back from exile. But the founding president was one of those who came back late. But then I received his call. My wife was seated next to me, and my son Jason was seated next to me, and he called me. He said, "Comrade Kasuto, I am coming back to Namibia. And I am walking on foot from Angola to Windhoek." That sound, that call to me, it was more than anything else. Why do I say so? I was seated there, before I received the call, I was seated there, hungry, we're waiting for to enjoy dinner. But afterwards, I was feeling I'm okay, I don't even want to eat. Yeah, that is show the appreciation we had for that president. But besides the fact that he appointed me as the deputy ombudsman, after I resigned from the government and I went back, not from the party, but only from government, I was with my son, Jason, and his friend. We were at Swakopmund during, you know, this festive season or whatever you call it. And we decided to go to Hendis Bay, you know. Whereby while we're in Hendis Bay, one of the guys who used to be with the late founding president came to tell me to stop us and say, "No, the old men want to see you." Yeah, so we went. I went with these two boys there, and we were received so nicely. We was with the Lady Koambo, and it was so nice. But what I am trying to say, this is a simple thing.
Yeah,
but it's really something which makes you very proud. It makes you very proud, and that is where. When they say he's the father of the Namibian nation, it's really true. He was for everybody. And he doesn't care. At that position, he was one of the most famous person in Namibia. He could call me when he hear that I'm somewhere in the street of Hedis by calling me to come to him. It's not every leader who can do that.
Yeah.
So he's I'll conclude by saying he was a unifier. And he was the father of the people. And therefore, unless you have got any other question.
Yeah. I
just wanted to tell the brief family, Mekwambo Nuyoma, the Nuyoma family, the Kondobolo family, the Mushimba family, we are with you in our prayers. We are crying with you. And we want you to be strong. This person was your husband, was your father, was your uncle, but to us, he was a father of the people of Namibia. And these messengers also go to the Namibian people.
Yeah.
Having said that, of course, I will say, let his soul rest in peace.
Yeah. And with that said, thank you very much, Advocate Ephraim Kasuto, for joining us on Unpacking the Day. And we appreciate it. And of course, we'll be later on seeing what is happening with regards to the procession, as it's the body of the late founding president is being taken throughout Windhoek for the citizens, the people that he was leading, or the generation, some of them the generations after him, to view his legacy. A final time before, of course, the memorial service tomorrow and the funeral on Saturday. With that said, thank you very much. We'll take a short commercial break and we'll be crossing over to Mike Oshovelli in the Ondangwa studio in just a few moments. Do keep listening to Eagle FM and we'll be right back.